social media under fire. Top executives of tech giants faced off with U.S. lawmakers today on the Navaz Report.
A barrage of questions and criticism for the CEOs of Twitter and Facebook, appearing virtually before a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on censorship, disinformation, and the 2020 election.
What evidence do you have that these labels are effective in addressing President Trump's lies?
It is time we took action against these modern-day robber barons.
The tech giants hailed the progress they've made so far. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey.
The public asked us to offer additional context to help make potentially misleading information more apparent. We did exactly that.
The head of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg.
We've taken down more than 100 networks of bad actors who are trying to coordinate and interfere globally. We established a network of independent fact-checkers that covers more than 60 languages.
But Senator Richard Blumenthal, Democrat from Connecticut, insisted that's not enough.
The destructive, incendiary misinformation is still a scourge on both your platforms and on others.
Democrats largely focused there, how to combat misinformation and disinformation, even when it comes from the president. 2 weeks after Election Day, President Trump continues to tweet baseless claims of voter fraud, falsely insisting he won. Both Twitter and Facebook have labeled some of the president's posts as misinformation. Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat from California, asked Dorsey about the president's tweet on November 7th, saying, quote, "I won this election by a lot." Twitter added a label that says, quote, "official sources may not have called the race when this was tweeted."
Does that label do enough to prevent the tweet's harms when the tweet is still visible and is not accurate?
I believe it's really important that we show people a broader context, and that is the intention of the label. It is not just text below a tweet. It is a link to connect to a much larger conversation and news articles across the spectrum.
Publishing. Republicans today focus their fire on accusations of bias against conservative voices. Chairman Lindsey Graham, Republican from South Carolina, first called the hearing after Twitter blocked a New York Post article about Hunter Biden that violated its policy on sharing hacked materials. After backlash, Twitter reversed course, amending the policy to block only the hackers or their associates and adding a label to possibly hacked content.
I hope this illustrates the rationale behind our actions and demonstrates our ability to take feedback, admit mistakes, and make changes all transparently to the public.
Mr. Zuckerberg,
both Dorsey and Zuckerberg were repeatedly pressed on what content they'd allow and what they'd take down. A Facebook post, for example, by former Trump advisor Steve Bannon called for the beheading of Dr. Anthony Fauci and FBI Director Christopher Wray.
How many times has Steve Bannon allowed the call for the murder of government officials before Facebook suspends his account?
The content in question did violate our policies, and we took it down. Having a content violation does not automatically mean your content, your account gets taken down, and the number of strikes varies depending on the amount, the type of offense.
But when asked if Facebook would take down Bannon's account altogether,
Senator, no, if that's not what our policies would suggest that we should do.
Central to all this, growing calls to reform Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, a 1996 rule designed to protect Internet companies from liability.
Do both of you support change to 230, reform of Section 230?
Senator, I do.
Ms. Dorsey?
Yes.
With the Georgia special elections looming in January, which will determine Senate control, both CEOs pledged continued vigilance. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Amna Nawaz.